Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And hold on one second while I finish this email. And then I'm going to put the doctor appointment in my calendar. And let me publish this website. And okay, so I'm not really doing any of that stuff right now. But at any given moment, on any given day, you can find me in the midst of a really scattered thought process that sounds pretty much like that. Of course, I'm not saying those things out loud, but they are running through my mind. And each of those tasks is distracting me from, 20 other things that I need to get done that are also demanding my attention. This is life in the modern office. Well, it's a new year and I want to quit. I want to trade distraction for concentration. I want to be less scattered and be much more focused. Now, of course, a fortress of solitude would do the trick. Heck, maybe even having an actual office might be nice, but that's another story. So since that's not likely to happen, maybe I can try and do something less dramatic. All I know is I need help, and I'm sure you do too.
I call myself a focus doctor, since it seems that everyone these days thinks they have ADD, even though they don't.
This is Ned Hallowell. He's a psychologist and author of a new book from the Harvard Business Review, Driven to Distraction at Work.
People come to me thinking they have ADD, and I say, no, you just have a severe case of modern life.
Well, how do we overcome that?
First, you got to make sure you don't have the true ADD, and most people don't. You know, it's only about 5% of the population who has that. But probably 85% feels kind of overwhelmed, you know, plagued by interruptions, distractions, victims of their own enthusiasm, overcommitted, answering, too many bells to answer, too many messages to respond to, too many tasks to get done.
Only 85%?
Yeah, I know that's conservative.
I just think that I really doubt that many people would disagree with your argument that we are way too distracted these days.
Yeah, no, I've yet to have someone say, oh, no, that's not me.
Why is that we are so distracted?
Well, part of it's that it's fun. There's kind of a high, you know, you get by, you know, you're a master of the universe. You're multitasking. You're doing lots of things. And the self-deception is that you're very productive. Well, you're not. You're just very, very busy. And the other reason is we've not learned how to recreate boundaries. You know, you ask someone, where do you do your best work? Rarely do they say at work. The most common answer I get is in the shower. The take-home message there is you can recreate what you have in the shower if you will just use your power to do so. See, thinking is difficult. Grappling with a problem is difficult. It's not a lot of fun. You know, getting it done is fun. But working through it is frustrating. You know, it's not as easy as it looks, and so you really have to discipline yourself to keep at it. Otherwise, what you can do is just use your email as a handy dodge for doing difficult thinking. You can say, "Well, I'm busy. I'm doing my email," but in fact, you're not doing anything very productive.
Is that part of what the issue here is, that we're trading off something that may be more important and bigger, the idea of thinking, of coming up with ideas, and we're worried that if we do that and we don't seem to be busy, that we're in a way trying to show the world that we're busy. We're answering emails, we're having meetings with people, we're kind of running around and doing a bunch of different things, but may not actually be accomplishing the bigger things. But it feels like we're being productive.
And I think that's a very good point. And that's why permission, if not requirement, to think needs to come from the top, because people are worried about losing their jobs, you know, and so they want to look productive. And you know, if you're typing away at your laptop or your computer, you look productive. So they don't want to give off the notion that they're goofing off. And if you're just sitting there staring off into space thinking, you can look like you're just goofing off. And so I think you're spot on that people they're insecure. They want to be busy.
Well, is multitasking even possible?
No, it's not. You see, and again, that's a great self-deception. What people really mean by multitasking is shifting your attention from one task to another in rapid succession. For example, during this interview, if I were doing email while I'm talking to you, I would be shifting my attention from my email back to you.
I'm trying really hard not to go to my email as we're talking, by the way.
Well, we're so conditioned to do that, but you know, so multitasking, neurologically speaking, is impossible. You what we really mean is spending a millisecond on one task, shifting to another task, back to the first task. You can do it, you know, if you're unloading the dishwasher and putting clothes in the dryer, that kind of thing. But if you're listening to a lecture on nuclear physics and reading Shakespeare, you just can't do it. It's impossible. And so you give up a great deal of mental power, IQ points, when you try to do that.
Well, how much of this is related to technology, that we are always accessible, checking emails, you know, getting that little hit of dopamine every time we hear a ping in our Facebook or on our Twitter feed?
Yeah, most of it is related to that. And if you think about it, a good analogy is remember when the snail mail used to come once or twice a day, we'd rush to get the mail. Well, now it comes once or twice a second, and we're still rushing to get the mail. There's something irresistible about an unopened message. This is the unintended consequence of our magnificent technology.
How do we train ourselves to focus?
The short answer is to take back control, to realize that you have more control than you think. And the problem is, most people, when they hear me talk, they say, yeah, you're right, but I have no control. I have no choice. My boss demands it. My lifestyle demands it. My spouse demands it. It's true. You do face demands from other people and other forces, but you have more control than you're using. No one forces you to check your email at 3 a.m.
Give me some ways that you can actually achieve focus.
Well, first of all, take care of your brain. And that's the obvious, you know, get enough exercise, get enough sleep, eat right, develop the practice of meditation, and get regular doses of positive human contact, what I call the other vitamin C.
I mean, we always hear that sort of advice, but I think people might respond and say, yeah, that's nice, but I got kids, I've got all these responsibilities, I have a lot of things I have to do, so how am I supposed to fit that in as well?
These things really matter. And people say, I don't have time to exercise. My answer is, you don't have time not to. Eating right doesn't take time. It just takes selection. Sleep, again, people say, well, I'm too busy, I've got to stay up late. Most of the time, they're staying up late screen sucking. So they're really not doing anything all that productive. So, and your brain will thank you many times over if you get enough sleep. Now, enough sleep doesn't mean you have to sleep 10 hours. Most people need around 7 hours of sleep. And so, you know, we're not talking sleeping in. But and meditation, you know, it only takes a few minutes, a couple of times a day. And again, it's a way of sort of cleaning up your brain. This is stuff that it's a very brief investment of time that has a major, major payoff.
Walk me through just a couple of different ways that you can achieve focus in the world that we're living in right now. When you're in the office, some very basic things that one could do to try and get that focus back.
Well, a quick burst of exercise is a real good one. Just stand up from your desk, drop down and do 10 push-ups, or run up and down stairs. I mean, in 1 minute or even 30 seconds, you can push the reset button on your brain. Your brain chemistry dramatically changes if you do a quick burst of exercise. You may feel silly, but next thing you know, everyone will do it.
I can only tell you the reaction of my colleagues if I were to just drop and give them 10.
Another one is coffee. You know, people badmouth coffee. Some coffee is great. Too much coffee is bad, but it's fine to use coffee as a performance-enhancing drug.
Is it the coffee, or is it the action of stepping back from your desk and taking a walk and going somewhere and taking a breather, as much as it is the caffeine that you're actually getting from the coffee?
Such a good point. You're absolutely right. You could go to Starbucks and get a cup of water and feel focused and refreshed.
I'm feeling this urge to check my email. I'm wondering if that's a sign to me that we have had a good conversation and it's time to move on, or if it's just that urge coming in.
Well, it's a common urge that we all can recognize. It's an urge. Just think about this. It's an urge that no one had only a generation ago.
Ned, thank you very much.
Thanks. Really nice to be with you.
Ned Hollowell is the author of the new book, Driven to Distraction at Work. A new year is an opportunity for a new approach to some old problems. In today's working world, just getting through the day means running a gauntlet of distractions, all of them competing for your limited attention. But you can at least start to take back some control, because you get to decide how to tackle those distractions. Here's what I've learned so far. Eat better, get more sleep, meditate if it works for you, and always, always find time for a little exercise, even if you have to do it at work. Though I doubt I will be doing push-ups at my desk, you can at least get up and walk around. Oh, and finally, make sure to look up from the blinking lights of your computer screen.
We're conditioned to bring out our iPhone, open up our laptop, look up at the television screen. I'm not saying let's go back to a world without screens. I'm just saying what we have to do is we've got to put ourselves in charge of them and not let them be in charge of us.
Heck, even allow a little boredom in your life. It's something that New Tech City, another program here at WNYC, is spending this month looking at and challenging people to step away from their devices and be bored. If you found a way to handle the distractions in your life, let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Or better yet, record a voice message and then email it to us. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.